football on Off the Ball.
It was ferocious, incredible. The intensity from the stands just trying to put itself onto the pitch, and the city couldn't breathe.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Rachel Sullivan also with us. Good morning to you both. How are you?
Depressed.
Yeah. Kira's really struggling to find the words there, but ultimately is right. The team that scores the most goals wins and goes through. And even though Ireland created many good chances last night, Rachel, they were incapable of taking them.
Yeah, I think firstly, I always respect players when they come out after such a difficult loss and such a difficult moment. And I've seen big moments in football where some players might duck that responsibility. So I really respect when they, even if she maybe struggled to find the words. But yeah, I think it felt like one of those games where we, even if we played another kind of 45 minutes with just the ball, that goal was living a charmed life in the second half, and we just could not get it across the line. And I think when I saw it hit the corner in the first half, and then Julianne Russell, the goalkeeper, made a save from her, I just kind of thought, it's not going to be our night. And I feel like that kind of bled into the team a little bit. They kind of thought, we're creating the chances, we're not putting them away, it's just not going to happen.
That's a quality issue, Kathleen, really. Ultimately, we were unlucky. We created loads of chances, but the chances and the quality of the chances wasn't good enough.
Yeah, I think so. I think, it is kind of what Rachel was saying there. It did feel like Wales were living a charmed life with some of those chances. I don't know how you can create 17 different chances. And you can't say a lot of them were very decent chances. The Denise O'Sullivan ricochet, the Julianne Russell, Heather Payne had an opportunity. Even the Nifahi volley. It wasn't like people weren't trying. And we were trying in a better way than we were in Cardiff on Friday, where we could barely get the ball anywhere near the net. Quality in that we couldn't finish it. Quality in the fact that we conceded right after the start of the second half again, which has always been this team's issue, even whenever we were playing under Vera. That 5 minutes before and after halftime was always a danger zone for us. And every time we conceded in that, we then went on to really struggle for 20 minutes, and then finally we would be able to pull ourselves back together for the final 15. So I think there was a mentality issue there as well, that we maybe reverted back to some of our old ways of playing and our old ways of looking at games, which was really unfortunate, because that first 45 minutes we were on top for a lot of it. I said at halftime, chatting to Owen last night, that I thought Wales would be the much happier team going in and that we should be quite disappointed, because they managed to make sure we didn't concede. With the way Rhianne Wilkinson had been talking in the lead up to the game, I was like, she's going to go full mentality monster in that dressing room. She's going to tell them to dig in. And if they get one sliver of a chance, which is exactly what they did with the penalty, I think they had it in them last night to take it where they did.
Why did Ireland react the way they did when they went 1-0 down?
For me, it's the nature of the goal. It's one thing, I find, a team scoring after a bit of momentum and you kind of feel like it's coming, and then you concede. To get a penalty against you in the way that you did so early in the second half, kind of like no one appealed for it. There was no kind of, it was the game carried on and then it was brought back. It felt like a real sucker punch, because it didn't feel like the game was leading to that moment. And it was almost like they were completely unprepared to concede in the way they did.
Same thing that happened in Australia with the Marissa Shiva penalty. Mm-hmm. We reacted the exact same way. And that's the really disappointing thing, that we didn't learn from that experience, where, again, that was a game that we probably had our backs to the wall a little bit more. But, big game, big atmosphere, big crowd. And we conceded, and all of a sudden it was like we mentally fell apart. And then final 10 minutes, we came back into it again. And I don't think that was just because of the substitutions. It definitely probably helped bringing some fresh legs onto the pitch and fresh minds. But it was really frustrating to see that we hadn't really learned all that much in the last year.
Yeah, because it felt like the next goal was going to be scored by Wales. And that proved to be the case. I mean, the way that they killed us in that counter-attack, only for Courtney Bradson, it would have been 2-0 earlier.
Yeah, and it's a really difficult situation for Ireland, because in that moment, you have to score, and then you're just going to put yourself at more risk. And Wales know that too. They know that you're going to come out. They know that you're going to start pushing forward to try and get that equaliser, and they're going to be able to capitalise on that. So in terms of the game plan, and as Kathleen said, they probably knew if we get an early goal, Ireland's heads might go for a couple of minutes, and that's exactly what happened, and they were able to capitalise on that. But it is always going to be difficult in those moments where you concede. When you do, the other team know you're going to have to come out. So it's just a moment, like it's a case of just waiting for that moment to capitalise, and they did that very well.
Yeah, and I remember even saying last week to you guys that, you know, I wasn't sure if Ireland went down how they would react to it. And I think the difference between what happened in Cardiff was that almost that element of the team feeling like they had time. You know, they didn't necessarily panic in Cardiff in the way they did last night whenever they went down, because it was early in the first half. They still had quite a lot of time, whereas last night it very much felt like everyone went, oh no, we've missed all these chances. We've had an entire first half. We're just going to kind of lose our shape, forget a little bit about what we were trying to do, forget that those passing structures that we had set up that what were leading to good opportunities, and we're going to get let Wales get on top of us, which was hard to watch, knowing that we could play the way we did and that we had created the opportunities playing the way that we did. And I know, like, some people had said, why didn't we bring Megan on earlier? Like, the long throws was such a good weapon. And it is a great weapon, and she is a great player. But I don't know, you know, if we had brought her on earlier and the result had stayed the same, I think it would have been the same narrative of why are we reverting back to this rather than being able to convert all the chances that we actually did have in the first place.
Is it a case of there's no obvious place for Megan Campbell in the team?
I think it's a mixture of things. There's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of she doesn't have the playing time.
The struggle stays fit.
Yeah, struggle to stay fit. She can come in and do that 20, 30 minute job for Ireland, but we haven't seen her play much longer than that for club or country in like quite a while. She's a different beast to someone like Rusha, who, yes, has also had chronic fitness issues and injury issues, but we have actually seen her been able to pull 70, 80 minutes out of the bag when required of her. So I think it's probably a combination of factors.
What did you both make of the starting 11? Just the one change Stapleton in for Ag?
Didn't massively surprise me, to be honest, because I feel like the game in Cardiff, they didn't show all the cards. They didn't go out there playing to win. So it's not like the setup in Cardiff was necessarily the problem. It was the nature of the game. Like you were saying, how different it was when they conceded and how quickly they came back in. And it was because I feel like the mentality in Cardiff was stay in the tie. Whereas as soon as they conceded last night, it was like the sand was slipping through the hourglass very quick, and suddenly it was running out of their hands. Do you know that kind of way? And it's just very different. And just the nature of the tie, it wasn't necessarily a team issue that I think needed changing.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we chatted about it yesterday morning, and we went through the various options that we thought were going to be the change. And one was Lily Ag or Nifahi were the two that we thought would potentially come out. We had said Stapleton as one coming in. I actually thought it was going to be Marissa Shiva more so than her. But like, I'm not surprised that Eileen gave Stapleton the chance. She was really interesting in her post-match interview. The quotes will be properly out tomorrow. I think they're embargoed until. But she, for such a young player, I was really surprised at the maturity that she approached the evening. She was obviously devastated by what had happened, but it kind of gave me a bit of a glimpse as to why Eileen thought that she was ready for a big night like that. And, you know, talking about the pride she felt. And as Rachel said, you know, there were a lot of other senior players that could have fronted up last night and been the ones to face the media, but it was her, even though it was probably one of the most difficult nights of her career. So
who didn't front up? Who didn't come out and talk to the media?
So it was Ciara Carusa, Jessie Stapleton and Megan Connolly were the three players that
spoke to the media afterwards. Right, so
and Rusha did RTE.
And presumably, is there a captain and manager press conference?
Just manager. Yeah. Eileen did a press conference.
So Katie McKay didn't speak to the media last night, as far as we know?
No, not as far as I know.
It's a bit unusual, isn't it?
Seen it happen before. Saw it happen after the World Cup semi-finals in 2019. You know, in terms of captain not coming out and speaking, and someone else came out to speak instead. Like, this is what I mean. Like, I know it's the job and you're expected to do it, but like, and I think Katie had a tough night out there, but you know, it is difficult. It's a devastating moment and, you know, it's a hard job to do. And like, that's why I wanted to point out, like, I do really respect players who can come out in front of the media after a tough game like that.
Let's talk about Katie McCabe, because there was almost like a hysteria online anyway, certainly about, you know, the yellow card and how aggressive she was. But that's Katie McCabe. Like, I mean, it's almost a running joke among her Arsenal teammates. It was like, yeah, Katie's probably going to get booked. Like, that's the way she plays and it seems to galvanise her. But the one disappointment I felt last night with McCabe, it wasn't necessarily the aggression and she was playing on the edge. We didn't see much of her in the second half.
Because she couldn't be. Yeah.
She was booked. She'd been warned. Like,
yeah, like the whole...
Well, she got booked and then warned and then warned and then warned again.
Yeah, but I think she went... Like watching the way the ref was interacting with her, even just like off the ball incidences, or even say incidences where like it was Katie's free. Katie had won the free for Ireland. Even if she just like threw up her arms as she fell to the ground, the ref was coming over to her and being like, calm down. So obviously her reputation had preceded her going into that game. And like that yellow card, she was very fortunate not to get sent off probably in the game. But it was really... It wasn't a night where you needed that much of Katie's aggression that early in the game, because it took her out of major parts of the second half when we maybe needed that little bit of aggression when Wales, because we saw, like, I didn't think last night was a great refereeing display by any means. You know, there was so many time-wasting incidents by Wales, which fair enough is what you're going to do in those situations.
But we did get also 9 minutes at the end.
No, but the ref blew it up. Bang on 98 minutes. And
even though there had been like...
Goalkeeper was down when the board went up.
Olivia
Courtney Brosnan got a yellow card for time-wasting because she was... So basically the ball went out. It was Kane and Caitlin Hayes. Caitlin Hayes followed Kane over the end line to make sure it went out. This is like in the latter stages. And Kane then went, got the ball that had like basically gone to the hoarding, threw it back on the pitch as Courtney Brosnan was taking her kick out. And Courtney complained to the ref and Courtney got a yellow card. Like there was definitely... I'm not saying this was by no means the deciding factor of the evening, and like Ireland should have taken their chances. That was a massive, massive thing. And Wales played the whole mental side of things beautifully well. You know, they riled us, they annoyed us, but also there should have been a lot more yellow cards in that game.
The inconsistencies are frustrating. They're not the reason we lost the game. And you can complain about the ref, but you can also say Katie McCabe was lucky to stay on the pitch.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because so, all of that might be true, but she didn't send off McCabe.
But I almost wonder then if that just made her then... extra nice to Wales for the rest of the game. But, you know, equally, I don't like a referee coming in with a preconceived idea about a player. I don't think that's right.
And she didn't need to have a preconceived idea.
No, but I do think
Katie did everything.
In that fecking game, she did. My God, like, she literally... Like, it was so frustrating to see her do that so early on in the game where you're like, everyone's looking to you at times in these moments. And I think the first yellow, you know, it happened to England in the final of the Euros where Georgia Stammer got booked in like 25 minutes. And you immediately go... Oh God!
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Are they going to take her off at halftime? This is a key player, in the, you know, that you need in the game. And like you said, it kind of took the teeth out of her in the second half because there were moments she needed that little bit of aggression and then couldn't do it because she was on such a fine line.
There wasn't a world where you take McCabe off, is it? Because if she's so ineffective because of the fact that she's living on the edge and she could get sent off at any moment, you could objectively say, what's the point of McCabe on the pitch?
I think, I don't know if you would say she was so ineffective in that she lost her way in the same way everyone else did in the second half. But for large swathes of that first half, she was still one of our crucial players creating opportunities.
Oh, she was dangerous.
Yeah.
On the ball, I mean.
Yeah. Mm. It depends on your perspective for that one. But like, I think for the second half, everyone lost their way a little bit. So it would have been unfair to hook Katie unless it looked like she was really going to get herself sent off. And even then, I don't know if Eileen would have had the... Actually, like her whole coaching team, it would have been a massive, massive call.
But she was effective in the last 10. She was whipping balls in. She was driving forward like that kind of last 10. And when she...
Yeah, those corners were really effective.
She is good at like G-ing up the team in those moments. I just think she was trying to G everyone up just a bit too early. Well, do you know, we didn't almost need that yet.
It was interesting chatting to a couple of former players after the game, and a few of them had like remarked on the fact that Katie was kind of G-ing up the crowd before, whenever they were like warming up or whatever. And a couple of them said, you know, head in the game, focus, this isn't the moment for... antics was kind of the word that was thrown around a couple of times. And then they felt that when she came out, because she was going in quite hard to things, that almost the mentality was a little bit too high, or she almost needed someone just to stand beside her and say, look, focus on the ball at your feet and let the rest come.
Louise Quinn or something on the pitch would have been like, relax, because it felt like the McCabe started a game with the comments that she had said in the build-up, which was cheap shots, come on, with the the treatment she was getting on Friday night, because you're right, like on TV, seconds before the game started, the camera panned to McCabe, but she was getting into position and she spits the chewing gum out and bats it away and then G's up the crowd like that and was like, we haven't even started.
Yeah.
And then in the build-up, they're shaking hands and she's saying stuff to the Welsh players. Yeah. Like, it's in her mind, like.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, then you become too focused on the wrong thing, don't you? And, you know, I find at times with Wales as well, so many of them have played in the WSL, many of them have played against Katie McCabe before. You've got Jess Fishlock in there who's, you know, knows exactly what McCabe is like and knows exactly how to rile her up. And that was definitely one of the tactics last night, was to get under her skin, and they did early on.
Ruaidhrí Littlejohn afterwards was quite existential in her discussion about where Irish football is, mm-hmm. and the word grassroots was mentioned and we need to be better on the ball.
Give her the head of women and girls football right now.
No, that's a hell of a shout, like, because she definitely has the ability to talk a good game about it. And it is interesting because we hear this all the time, kind of any level of Irish football in either gender is like, we can't play as well with the ball as our peers. Would you go along with what Littlejohn was saying after the game last night? Do we need to fundamentally change how we play the game?
I think we need to fundamentally change how we grow the game in the country. You know, we've talked about this a lot on the show and on Coy Gig and elsewhere, but not having something like an under-23s there, that's massive for the development of players. You look at someone like Jessie Stapleton coming in last night, or Abby Larkin, who's barely played a minute since the World Cup last summer for both club and country. What would their development look like? Or say even someone, Tyler Toland, when she first kind of splashed onto the scene with City, Erin McLaughlin, who's gone over now to England, all these different players. What would their development look like if they had that time between 19s and senior to get more time on the ball, compete against these bigger nations at bigger international European competitions? Because when you look at our underage structure, that's where these teams are competing at the moment. But then there's like a brain drain between the two levels, and we're not giving our players the proper opportunity to develop at all. So I think bridging that gap in some way is so, so important. And I think actually having a squad dynamic is probably better than the home base sessions that we were doing before, and that the home base sessions were great and that they gave people an opportunity who were here to show themselves, but actually getting out of Ireland, getting that experience against these top tier nations and probably competing against the sort of people you are going to be competing against in the WSL or whatever league that hopefully our players continue to go to with championship. That is so important. Mm. But there's no money there for it. And there's no want. If you were going to do it, you would have done it in the last year, because we just qualified for a World Cup. Women's football had never had a bigger profile in this country. You know, 35,000 people in the Aviva to see that first game against Northern Ireland, 25, 26,000, whatever it was there last night. You know, those numbers were keeping kind of consistently high. So the attention is on it, but they didn't take that opportunity because they didn't have the funding there or whatever it was. So, and now that we haven't qualified for the Euros, are we going to see that in the next 2 years before the World Cup?
Well, we were talking about this last night. We talked to some other journalists about how this is kind of a sliding doors moment. And it's like, this is a moment now where whether we decide to go all in or to coast. And, you know, I don't want to end up like, say, in Northern Ireland, where you qualify for a major tournament and then you go backwards. You know, or Scotland, who have failed for a third major tournament in a row to qualify when they absolutely have the quality to do so. So it shouldn't be. What worries me is that it's going to be seen as, we haven't qualified, we take a step back. You can't afford to do that. But what's worrying is that a major tournament is now so far away. 2027 seems like an age away. So
we might, you know, it's much more difficult to qualify.
Listen, we did it before. First time. That was the easy one. Yeah. But no, I think we should be looking at that. And it's hard to do in you know, so recently after such a difficult defeat and missing out. But we should be saying, right, we've got this amount of time to try and bridge that gap and to as you said, kind of have that type of Irish style right through the age groups. And the under-23s is, I think, is really key to that.
What do you think happens with Eileen Gleeson?
$1 million question. When we went 2-0 down, I was like, okay, this is it. She's not surviving this. The fight back made me think that she might get more of an opportunity. I think it kind of goes back to what Rachel was saying there about a sliding doors moment and making a decision of, is this our level? Is there someone out there that maybe could take us to another level? Is that possible? Is there someone that wants a job? You know, we were chatting through a few different names.
Start the rumours now.
About people that are maybe out there that are looking for international jobs that might want to come in. I wouldn't be surprised if the FAI did stick with her.
Oh,
I also wouldn't be surprised if they twisted. It's okay. Like what she has brought this team together after what was a relatively difficult period where the team was lacking a lot of cohesiveness. She has overseen some great moments. Like, you can never really forget the Parky Quive and that win against France. But also, we have just failed to qualify for a major tournament, which was the objective of it all. But also, you have to accept as well what, you know, we took on Eileen because she knew the systems, she knew the players. She was a steady hand in what was a bit of a sinking ship at the time. And, you know, she doesn't have massive amounts of senior management experience. So, you know, it's not making excuses for what happened or where we're at, because I think that team and that team led by her were perfectly capable of qualifying for a tournament.
That's the sickener, isn't
it?
There's no reason why we shouldn't have qualified last night.
That's what makes it harder.
Yeah, that's why it's a failure. That's why it's difficult to say that she can continue on after this. Like, she's given her life to this and we need to respect that. But the job that she had before might be the best job for her into the future, and it might be time for somebody else to come in. You had your chance. That's the bit.
Well, this is it. And this is the moment potentially then to start a bit of a rebuild phase. You have the time now to prep for another major tournament, but just don't sit back on your laurels and just accept this is our level, because it's not. The fact that we came so close and should have and could have qualified again for another major tournament, that's our level. And that's what we need to be trying to sustain.
All right. Rachel, Kathleen, thanks a million.